Okay. Let's all release the children and we're going to take up an offering for another air conditioner. I might get it right now, huh? Yeah. It sure got hot. I'm just getting everybody time to settle down. The name of my message today is right out of the scripture, right out of Psalm, unless the Lord build the house. Unless the Lord build the house. Hopefully that in the process of this message today, that there'll be some revelation and some truth that are imparted into your life so that you can take the words that are going to be spoke today and they'll be able to be useful in how you live your life. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 127, Psalms 127. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, say oh me.
That's right after 126.
That's right after 126. That's right. Verse 1. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that you just come. Lord, that you would anoint this word. God, that it would set us free from the lies of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look, like the title of my message, unless the Lord build the house, is what it starts with. Unless God build the house. Unless God set the foundation. Unless God establishes the way you look, see, and process life, you're going to labor in vain. Your life is going to be miserable. You're never going to seem to get to that place of contentment and fulfillment unless God build the house. I got to stop there just a second. God just won't get you off my mind. He sent me to tell you that what you've been through has been a horrible turmoil, and it's been a struggle. And he's even heard the question, Lord, is it ever going to end? And God said to be faithful, be content. There is an end. It will come. Be faithful in the process. Be faithful in it. But it will end. God said it will end. So you hold on to this word today that he said it's going to come to an end. And when it does, you're going to have new outlook and perspective on life. And God's going to be able to use it for his glory and honor. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. By the way, we're going to be praying for him. He's got back trouble before we leave today. I had to stop because God wouldn't leave me alone. When we look at what this is saying, he said, they labor in vain. They labor in vain. How many of you ever started out to do something and you did all the work and the process and you got to the end of it and you thought, what was the use? Anybody? Don't act like I'm the only one in here. Or you get through it and it seems like it. Let me just say this. Have you ever been to the ocean and to the beach and you build you a sandcastle? And you think the tide's not coming in anytime soon. Next thing you know, you hadn't been there that long, the tide comes in and your little castle in the sand, whoosh, it's gone.
That's right.
You labored in vain. Didn't even last 2 hours. I think that so often people in life, they feel like all my life has been in vain. I worked for all the wrong things. I focused in all the wrong directions. And now I'm in a place in life where I say, God, What's the use and where do I go from here? How does it make any sense? Because it only makes sense in Him. Let me just say that life only makes sense in God. And then even at times you got to walk it out by faith. But it only makes sense in Him. I know that when I got to the place in my life where I surrendered, it was one of those deals where I had messed up my life. Anybody ever screwed up your life? I had messed it up. I mean, I was a mess. And that day when I walked that aisle, it wasn't the church that said, it wasn't even a good sermon the pastor had that day because I couldn't tell you what he said. Oh, I couldn't wait for him to hush. You know why? Because God had already touched my heart. He'd already told me, today's the day that you need to surrender. Too many of us don't heed that knock when He says it's time to surrender. But that day I walked down that aisle and I didn't ask Him to save me. I'd done that before. Nothing happened. Y'all have heard me say it before. I was just looking for fire insurance. I just didn't want to burn in hell. I didn't want Jesus to take over my life. I just didn't want to burn in hell, so I want some insurance. But that day, I realized, unless the Lord build my life, it's never going to amount to anything. And so I asked Him that day, Lord, I need You to take over because I'm not any good on my own. That's 35 years ago. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember that day when you surrendered? Not when you asked Him to give you some insurance. That day you surrendered. Unless the Lord build a house, we labor in vain. And you'll come to the place where you've worked all your life and you're thinking, what's the use? I focused all my energies in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. Then He says, there's a lot going on in this passage of Scripture. He said, they labor in vain to build it. Unless the Lord guard the city. Let me just say, everybody knows that there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. There's a lot of uncertainty in our country. Right now in Britain, it's happening over there. It's happening in China. It's happening in Russia. It's happening. There's uncertainty all over the world. And He's saying something very unique right here. He said, unless the Lord guard the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. See, the problem with our country, the problem with the British, the Brits, the problem with all these other countries that are having trouble, guess what? They forgot that God needed to be the watchman over their cities, over their countries. We wonder why people walk into schools and crowded areas and kill people. Because God is not the watchman over those places. We've forgotten. But you know what? We don't have to be afraid. Just like you said in here, you don't have to be afraid. We do not have to live in fear. Why? God's not falling off His throne. He's not up there wringing His hands, wondering, what am I going to do next? He knows exactly what He's doing. He's drawing His people unto Him. He's drawing the people that are out there that are struggling in this world that don't know the answer. He's drawing them to Himself. And He's using me and you to do it. He's using the hard times to get their attention. How many of y'all know this is all written? We all knew it was coming. He says they labor, they watch, the watchman stays up in vain. Unless God guards the city. Let me ask you a question. Who's guarding your home? Who's guarding your home? Did nothing against the police. Aaron's a police officer. But guess what? If you're depending on the police to guard your home, let me just say you're probably a fool. Not because the police aren't any good, because that's putting your hope in man. If you have not, I'm going to do something like you think, so you'll really think I'm stupid. If you have not prayed and asked God to dispatch angels around your property, I'll be honest, I did that years ago and I'm still walking in faith that they're standing their guard, doing what they're supposed to do. You say, you really believe that, Pastor? Absolutely, I believe that. I've read the Bible. I believe the Bible to be true. And I believe if you don't believe it to be true and you think that's all a fairy tale, then you're in trouble. Because unless the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. So we got to put our trust, our hope, our understanding, our direction somewhere. You say, but Pastor, you understand my life has fallen apart. Okay. Maybe you did like I did, and you put all of your hopes and dreams into things that you thought were what life was all about, and it fell apart. I did that too. But when I came to the place where I put God, right where He belonged, it changed everything. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. In other words, to toil over and over again trying to get riches, trying to put yourself to a place of rest financially, to buy into the world system, do it, if you'll do all this. Because then he says, right after that, he says, to eat the bread of sorrows. What does he mean? That you struggle so hard to make a living to get somewhere, and that's what he's talking about, to eat the bread of sorrow, that it's costing you so much to get there that you can't even enjoy the bread you're eating anyway. Can I get an amen? Why? Because you put your hope in everything that's not supposed to be in. Then he says, so he gives his beloved sleep. When you rest in God, when you build your house upon God, he will give you the rest and life that you need. He'll give you the comfort and the peace that you need. Then he says, behold, children are a heritage from God. I know in the society that we live in, that's not necessarily the truth. Matter of fact, the society that we live in, children are, to be honest, they're just a pain in the neck. And that they're going to interfere with my careers, my destiny, my life, what I want to do. So therefore, that's why we have a country that thinks it's okay for I'm just going to step out there. Ladies, look at me. Your body's not your own. It's not yours to do with whatever you want to. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. Okay? You have the right to do what God says. That's what you have the right to do. Period. And abortion ain't in there. Okay? That's not part of it. If we realize, by the way, if you've been here and that's happened to you, God is a God of forgiveness. He washes our sins away. He will establish your feet once again on the right path if you've made those mistakes. So don't, I'm not trying to condemn you, but I am trying to say, let's stop doing the same thing over and over again. Let's stop doing what caused us to get in those places in the first place. He says that children are a heritage from God. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So if it's not a reward and it doesn't feel like a heritage, then you know what that tells me? Something wrong up here. We got off up here. We got off here. Somewhere along the lines, we forgot that God said there were going to be a heritage. God said that the fruit of the womb was a reward, not a penalty. When does it become a penalty? When we do it outside of God's order. Can I get an amen? If we do it God's way, if we do it the way God said, it is a reward. Then he says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. That excites me. I like shooting stuff. Right? You ever? I think sometimes I was born in the wrong century. I mean, there's just something about that warrior thing that excites me. And then it says that children are like arrows in my hand. As my sons were up here today, you know what I was thinking? I got a couple arrows that are right in the heart of the enemy. And he can't stand it. It inflicts pain on him regularly. You know what? I think that's awesome. Makes me feel good as a warrior. Why? At some point in my past, I got it right. And I quit thinking about myself and started thinking about God. What is it you want? What is it you would have me do? And you know what? I realized that when you do it God's way, he eventually comes around to, you realize, I'm so blessed I can't even imagine it. I'm so blessed I can't even bring it forth with the words that would describe how blessed I am, because God's in control. God is my foundation. By the way, I don't have a watch. I don't have a phone up here, so y'all going to have to let me know if it gets too late. Unless the Lord leads you in your footsteps to your destiny, you labor in vain. Unless the Lord leads you in your destiny, in your footsteps to your destiny, you're laboring in vain. Guarding the city means absolutely nothing unless God is over it. Because if God's not over it, it means nothing. All this stuff about fear, you know where all that comes from? Fear is the opposite of faith. And when we trust God, we don't have to walk in fear. We walk in faith, knowing God is not a God that He should lie. When we look at, if you're building your life without God being over it, you're just going to eat the bread of sorrow or regret. You're just going to look back at your life and have regret. Always laboring, but never having enough. Anybody ever felt that way? You can be a Christian, by the way, and do this. You can be a Christian and get your focus all in the wrong direction. You can be a Christian and start getting to where you feel like you're laboring in vain. When we raise our children in the way of the Lord, they're a blessing to us. And they become a weapon to be used against the enemy. When we raise our children in the ways of the Lord, we're happy when we have children. Not the other way around. I'm not nowhere near done, so y'all just wake up. When we have trained our children in the right way, we will not be ashamed of the way, they will not be ashamed of the way they live. Hear me. When we raise them right, they will not be ashamed of the lives that they live. They may have struggles when they're young. They may say, you're the only mom or dad that ever does that. None of my other friends are that strict. I never heard those things out of my children. You're just old-fashioned. You're too strict. Everybody else lets their kids do it. You know what I always told them? You're not everybody else's child. You're mine. Hello. I'm going to teach all you parents out there that's got little bitty children, I'm going to teach you something that's valuable. Your child is not the center of the universe, no matter what you thought. Okay? And by teaching them that they are, all you're doing is setting them up for disappointment in life. Because when they walk out in this real world and they're no longer in mom and dad's care, and they're like, whoa, they lied to me. I always thought I was the center of the universe. I thought life revolved around me. That was free. But it's the truth. I never had that privilege, by the way, or disgrace, whichever one you would want to call it. When we look at our children, when we raise them right, it says that they will also be able to catch the enemy before he ever enters the city. They'll catch him at the gate. Our children, when we raise them in the ways of the Lord, they will be standing at the gate of the city, and they'll stop them before they ever get in the city, because they'll recognize and see the tactics of the enemy. Y'all could have said amen right there. That was good. Turn with me to Psalms 133. That's right before 134. This goes right along with what I'm saying. Behold. I like it when the scripture starts that way. Behold. It's like something's going to be powerful. Behold. Right? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity together. Then it says like this, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. Talking about Aaron. The beard of Aaron running down on the edges of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, let me just back up for a moment. He said that when we dwell in unity, it is like the precious oil. It's what that's saying. It's like the anointing of God. He's not saying it's like the anointing of God. He's saying when we dwell in unity, it commands the anointing of God's blessing to be upon us. So what does that tell us about disunity? What does that tell us when we're not on the same page? What does that tell us when we're always fighting? The opposite. Cursings. We wonder why things fall apart. How many of you understand the picture of Aaron's anointing? It says that when we realize, I went back and looked at those scriptures, and Aaron is being anointed to priest. Okay? How many of you know that we've all been called kings and priests in the New Testament? That means you do not need a father, priest, to go to you, to God. You can go on your own. You don't need anybody else telling you that your sins are forgiven. Guess what? They are forgiven. How do I know? Because the lie that you may have been told that you can earn your salvation or keep it, the day you got saved, God looked down upon you. And he saw the filthiness of your life. He saw all that had happened up to that point. He saw what you were standing in that day. But he also looked to your future. And he saw all the nastiness you're going to do. And you know what he did? He saved you anyway. He saved you from all that stuff you was going to do in the future. Even though he knew you was going to do it. Guess what you got to get? The day that he said, "You're mine." The day that your salvation came. The day you said, "Lord, be the Lord of my life." He looked to the future and he said, "You know what? In spite of all that, I'm still going to save you." And his blood, his precious blood, made us white. Not just today, all the days of my life. Amen. Now, that's not about saying some prayer to get you some fire insurance. A lot of people, I was guilty of it as a pastor once myself, young pastor. Just get people to come pray a prayer. I don't want you to come pray a prayer unless you're serious about it. Because I'm not going to give you an insurance policy. Ain't nobody else going to give it to you either. They might give you a lie. Here's your fire insurance policy. Don't count on that. Because it probably won't get you in the door. Right? You know what causes you to have fire insurance? Complete and total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, Jesus didn't die. Y'all have heard me say this. How many know he didn't die so you wouldn't go to hell? That's not why he died. He didn't die so you'd go to heaven. Oh, yes, he did. No, he didn't. Those are byproducts. He died to restore relationship between God and man. That's why he died. Now, because of that, you get to go to heaven. Because of that, you don't go to hell. But the main reason that Jesus came and died for me and you was to restore the relationship that was lost in the garden. God wanted to restore that relationship between God and man. So knowing that, looking at this, he says, how good is it, brethren, those that are Christians, those that are saved, how good is it when we dwell in unity? How precious is it? Well, it's like the anointing of God coming and falling upon you. Wouldn't you like some anointing? Let me just say, you know why marriages fail? Everybody look at me. You know why marriages fail? Because there's no anointing on that marriage. You know why children, families fall apart with their teaching and training? Because there's no anointing. Because mom or dad didn't get anointed to be mom or dad. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Do you hear me? It's the anointing of God that makes all the difference. And when we get the anointing of God, guess what? God knew I was not going to be a perfect dad. And he knew my wife wasn't going to be the perfect mom. How many of you know there is no perfect mom or dad? You can't do it right enough. But you know what you can do? Just like that day you get married, you look in God and say, God, I need the anointing of on my life that you bring so that I can be a husband. She says, I need that anointing upon my life so I can be the wife. Because without you, God, it's not going to break the yoke in our marriage. It's not going to be you that brings about the fullness of what's going on. So I need you to come and bring that anointing into my life. And then your child comes along. And you think, oh, okay. I didn't get them. Where's that manual? I didn't get an instruction book. You know what it's called? Anointing. God, I need your anointing to be a father. I need your anointing to be a mom. And without your anointing, I realize I'm going to fail miserably. But when your anointing comes, it makes all the difference. Because it makes up what I can't do. It can do what I just possibly can't do. Anybody learning anything today? So when we realize, he says, it's talking about that when true unity comes, it's quite pleasant. There's an aura, an atmosphere that is created when there's true unity. And we're supposed to dwell in that presence in unity. It's also talking about that anointing that, and see, it had to happen to Aaron. They came and poured, well, you're Aaron. They came and poured that oil on him. Like any oil. He don't have the hair on the head though, so he'd go too fast. But they poured it. Now listen to me. I'm painting a picture. They poured it on him. You know why they poured it on him? Because they wanted to represent a saturation.
That's right.
Are you saturated with God's presence? Are you saturated with the anointing of God in your life? I'll be honest. I'm a pretty good preacher. You know why I'm a good preacher? Because I can sense when the anointing's there. Not because I'm so great a preacher. Because I can sense when God's anointing's there. I'll be honest. I tell God every time I get up here, Lord, if you don't show up, I'm in trouble. I ain't that good. You understand? Because it's even somebody that's able to talk good, say all the right words, let me just say, unless that anointing is there, to break the yoke, because you don't think the enemy is not trying to stop the word of God from coming forth? So it's the anointing. And once you get that, once you understand it's the anointing, once you understand that that's truly what it is, you'll go home and you'll pray over the doorpost of your house, you'll pray upon the beds of your children, you'll pray all these things because you really believe that anointing makes all the difference. And it does make the difference. If you ever study the scriptures, it shows us all about anointing and why they did what they did. True anointing is what we're all seeking because it's what breaks the yoke. It's what breaks the heaviness of life. He says that when we do all this, when we dwell in unity, God commands. You know when God commands something? Behold! You understand? When God commands it, it's like, behold! And it comes. It doesn't have any choice. Here it comes running. It was running the other direction, and God said, whoa, I'm commanding this blessing to come. And it comes. Amen. How many of you like to have some of that commanded blessing? Amen. None of y'all? I would. I'm going to raise both my hands. I'll get y'all's too. I want some of that commanded blessing. I want God to come. What time is it, by the way? 11:43? I'll hurry. All right. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2, 1. I stayed strictly in the Old Testament on purpose today. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. You will do all these things. If you understand, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives wisdom. What was I talking about earlier? God, I need to have wisdom to be a dad. I need to have wisdom to be a husband. I need the wisdom to be a pastor. He's saying that if you cry out for me, you'll search me. If you do these things, I'll give it to you. Now, how many of you think that you got all the knowledge and the wisdom you're ever going to need? I guess good you didn't hold up your arms, because I was going to have somebody come back there and get you and pull you up here so we could cast that demon, that lying demon out of you. The truth is, he says, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I want words from God. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He stores it up. You know what that means? I'm going to tell Canon Peaches. How many of you heard my story, Canon Peaches? Canon Peaches. Anybody heard my story, Canon Peaches? All right. Most of you hadn't. How many of you have ever worked in the summertime? The peaches are, oh, they're perfectly ripe on the tree. And you're like, man. And you can eat them right then. But what you do is you gather them up and you go prepare them and you start putting them up. Canning peaches. It's hard work, isn't it? And you're like, why ain't I eating these things instead of canning them, right? Well, you know why? Because in the dead of winter, you can't get a fresh peach. So you can those peaches so that in the dead of winter, you can go open to pop that top and get you a peach. You know why you study God's Word sometimes and you don't feel like you're getting anything? You know why you pour in even though you don't feel like it? Because you're canning peaches. And in the dead of winter, when you don't realize God has got stored up wisdom for you, it's in the form of canned peaches. And all of a sudden you pop the top and all this stuff comes downloaded into you and you're like, whoa, I didn't even know I knew all that. I didn't even know that was in me. And all of a sudden God causes it to rise up in you. It's called canning peaches. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. You know what? How many of you have ever seen a hailstorm? Have you been hit by a hailstone? It hurts, right? Don't you wish you had a shield? You know the devil is constantly throwing fiery darts? And how many of you know that God said he'll be a shield to the upright to quench those fiery darts? Some of us have said, that doesn't sound like a dart to me. It sounds more like a missile. Right? And you've been hearing this thump, thump, thump on your shield. And all of a sudden you hear this. And you're like, oh, I'm dead. Right? Let me just say, the devil has fired his last best shot. Because all the other darts ain't working. You just stand firm. And know that just because it sounds like a missile, he's a deceiver. He's a manipulator. It ain't real. It just sounds like a missile. That's good preaching. I don't care what anybody said. He guards the path of justice. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. You ever felt like that sometimes life was unjust? The wicked. Like, how come they get away with it? They're not getting away with it. You hear me? They are not getting away with it. One, they may have money, they may have all the stuff, but they're miserable. And they don't know God. A relationship with God is better than all the riches in the world. I'm closing, I really am. Then it says, you will understand righteousness and justice, equality, equity, and a very good path. When wisdom enters your heart, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is present to your soul, when these things happen, discretion will preserve you. Oh, that's what's wrong in my life. Discretion. I didn't let wisdom enter into my heart and knowledge isn't pleasant to my soul, so that's why I don't have any discretion. And discretion preserves me. Oops. Understanding will keep you. What understanding? God's understanding. If you don't get anything out of this message but this, then you need to hear this. What is your foundation? I'll explain real quickly how you know what your foundation is. When things happen in your life, when, let's say, a crisis comes or something, you get some news you hadn't been looking for, and all of a sudden, something jumps up in you and you're scared to death. Fear is overwhelming you. Let me just assure you, your foundation is cracked. See, when your foundation is solid, you know that no matter what happens in life, no matter what happens in this world, I stand firm on the solid rock. It may not come out like I think it ought to, but I can trust you that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what's happening in this world, no matter whether our country is going in the wrong direction, no matter whether Britain is going in the wrong direction, it doesn't make any difference. I don't put my hope and trust in all that stuff. I believe that God holds the heart of the king in his hand. He'll turn it whichever way he wants to. So just know something. When we think all those politicians or all those other people or the rich people or the CEOs, whoever it is you got beef with in this world, just know something. God holds their heart in his hand. See, he's the one that I trust in. He'll turn it every which way he wants to. He'll turn it against me or for me, according to whom, what am I acting like? Who am I trusting? Today, after 35 years of living for the Lord, I can assure you, he can absolutely do the impossible. I'm going to tell this one quick story. Maybe today you're here with financial trouble. And I remember when God told me, I used to be a tipper, not a tither, for those that don't know what that means, and I just give $10 instead of 10%. But I remember God spoke to me one day and he said, do you want my perfect will in your life? By the way, I'm not trying to get you into giving. Do you want my perfect will in your life? And I said, yes, Lord, I do. He said, then stop shutting the door to your blessing. I said, but God, my bills add up to more than I make. And you know what he told me? He said, I didn't tell you to make all those bills. That was not the answer I was looking for. I was looking for the answers God's going to say, just make all the mistakes you won't ever have to pay for them. But you know what he did say? He said, do you want my perfect will in your life? I said, yes. He said, then tithe. And she's my witness. God has spoke to me. I walked in the kitchen. I looked at her. I said, don't ever ask me again. Just write that check. No matter what happens, we pay our tithe, period. You say, well, okay, what about that? It wasn't long after that. Our bank account showed we had a lot more money in it than we did. We called the bank up and argued with them. That's not our money. Well, it's not ours. I'm telling you the truth. To this day, they never did take their money. You say, well, where did it come from? I don't know. I guess God just put it there. Because they said it wasn't theirs. We argued with them. You ever tried to argue with a bank person? This is not my money. This is your money. God will make a way where there is no way. I'm not telling you to count on money that's not in your bank account, okay? Writing hot checks is not faith. But I am telling you that if you put that firm foundation in your life, no matter what, trust God no matter what, he will come through for you like he always does. I can get you to stand to your feet. I know there's some here today that you're starting a new life, and that's God, it's struggles and it's turmoil. Some of you are here, you're on the process of putting your foundation together in the right place. Some of you have been living for God for years, and you feel like, I'm not sure that it's where it needs to be. You know, sometimes you just have to get a tune-up. Sometimes you have to gather your stuff back up and put it back in order. Because what you allowed to happen over a period of time was things got out of order and you didn't even know they got out of order. It's like that room in your house that you just keep shoving stuff in. Then one day you open the door and it all falls out. You know what's better? It's better to open that door and clean it out. Get it all back in order first. So maybe I'm talking to you today. Maybe today is the day you need to open the door and let God put everything back in order. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just speak your blessings over everybody here today. God, we're not here just to have another church service, but we've had plenty of those in our life. God, we're here because we want you, Lord, to move supernaturally in our lives. We want you, Lord, to come make sense out of things that don't make sense. We're asking you, Lord, to come and touch our hearts, to bring about a transformation. Today, if you're needing a miracle from God, if you're needing God to move in your life, whether it be physical, spiritual, emotional, maybe you're here today and there's deep wounds in your life and you do not know how to get over it. Pray about letting God touch you. If I get our prayer team, just come on up.